say. I showed you Uncle Bob, right?
Uncle Bob.
Yeah. He migrated. Flash
of Uncle Bob, that's what I saw.
On my desk. And then I was showing my son him the other day, who I've repeatedly told is Uncle Bob. It's only a small bit of the gaslighting. And he hit him. He tried to reach him, and it knocked him out of my hand, hit the floor, and his head popped off. I just CA glued him on, and he was so distraught about it. He kept walking on my room going, Bob? Bob?
Bob?
And I was like, I'll fix him, bud. I'll fix him.
Is that a bamboo print?
Yeah. I bought it. I think I told you about it, like $15 or something. Superb. Crazy.
Bought the model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted a bust of Mr. Bob Odenkirk.
He looks very familiar. Is he someone I know?
Seriously? You don't know that? You don't know Bob Odenkirk? The Better Call Saul or
that show.
Seen those shows? Yeah.
Never watched
them. He's kind of a cult classic kind of guy.
That's why he's familiar.
He had like a bunch of comedy shows before those that I didn't watch. But I enjoyed them. Aaron and I like that show.
Oh, nice. Gone are the days of television for me. Right. No, that's not true. That's not true. I am watching the new series of Foundation at the moment.
Just
very limited input when it comes to television.
I don't know that show.
Yeah.
It's about making foundations for houses.
Yeah. It's just, you know,
hot.
Ripping sweet concrete pylons.
I mean,
all day.
I watched an excavating YouTube video last night about a guy that brought his American excavating company European ideas of excavating, and I found it very interesting. Moving dirt.
Yeah, my son's obsessed with trucks and diggers, which is hilarious because we haven't done, I don't know. It's weird. So it's like the difference between my two eldest, one girl and one boy, just like hilariously.
Dude, watch. Is this zooming for you? Sorry.
No. Oh, yeah. That was scary.
Is it staying level?
Nah, it's all over. It's just like punching in. It's like the camera operator is obsessed by your moustache.
But I'm twisting my camera and it's staying level but zooming.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
That is crazy. Anyway, sorry. I have a friend who their kid is like a few months older than mine and is obsessed with like trucks and digging machines and stuff, and it's similar. I'm sure I was at that age too, but it's so weird how like they don't have anything to do with that kind of stuff in their day-to-day life, and it's just like kids find these things that they're like, it's so cool. And I remember being obsessed with like little cars and stuff too, but it's just weird how little exposure you can have to find an obsession.
Yeah. How's your week, man?
I actually have a coffee.
Yeah, cheers. Me too. Cheers. Ching.
Oh, week has been a lot of no work because
I'm
working on selling a vehicle and buying a new vehicle and just personal use. And that is, I told you a little bit as I was shopping, but I have an update about this that's relevant for our conversations, that my stupid negotiation bots, I had given up on them. Did I say this already?
You texted me about it. It's hilarious.
Okay. And I just bounced into one of the final remaining negotiations because they kind of end, it finds its own kind of end where it's like, oh, you know, the dealer isn't responding or whatever. Basically, all of them kind of foil themselves or the dealers know it's a bot. But one of them made a deal, like actually made a pretty good deal. It was like $3,000 off the list price.
And you bought the car, didn't you?
Is this no, it was actually like one I was just experimenting with this bot system where I was like, oh, I don't really want this because it's too expensive, but like, let's just try it. And that's I look so back funny. At it and they had dozens of emails back and forth, which most of them were like, they figure out right away and they go, I don't know, this person seems fake or whatever it is, or it's unrealistic or something. And it went as far as agreeing that the dealer sent a buyer's purchase agreement. And my bot claimed to have signed a DocuSign and sent it back and made a meetup appointment, like in person, Thursday at 2 p.m. And it kept reiterating how it had signed a DocuSign to agree to this with a down payment and like what it was going to bring to the meeting. And I was like, I didn't know anything about this.
I'll be in the meeting. I'll bring cash.
So, I mean, it was actually kind of a good deal. It's just like a really bad UI that didn't tell me that was happening. So funny. And I wish I could use it for real.
The future is near and chaotic.
I do, looking back through it, I am fairly certain that the other side was often a bot as well. And having gone through a few deals myself now, trying to negotiate cars, they've admitted to using AI bots. And so it's here. We're doing it. This is the real life. Bots are negotiating with bots.
Yeah. That's here. Yeah. That's going to get crazy. I think it's like I had a hilarious first impression of turning on a email MCP like last week, the day after we recorded, and were complaining how SimTheory hadn't been updated. Hours later, SimTheory was updated, and it had MCPs baked in. I was like, I can turn on a Gmail MCP, and I turned it on for my main business account because that's what you test it with, right?
Yeah.
I was chatting to my assistant. Is that talking about my FedEx problem, which I'll get into in a sec. And she was like, oh, yeah. Oh, cool. I've emailed your rep. I was like, hang on. You what? It's like, yeah. The email's sent. It's like, hang on. Just running to the other tab, like checking my sent folder. And, yep, sure enough, there was an email sitting there.
It will like, just send.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. That was it.
You were sending me some screenshots of these, and I was like, I don't know if I should try that. And then I did the same thing and immediately signed up my main account for business on there and drafted you and sent you an email. It did draft it first, which was nice.
Good.
And all the ones it's done when I've been playing around with just my normal using SimTheory to draft things, it's only done drafts for, like, if I say, like, I need to send an email, usually I don't even mean that. I mean it, like, in Help Scout. And it's been drafting them Gmail, and I'm like, I don't want you to send a Gmail to make a draft. I think it helps that I haven't told it, like, specifically who. Like, the contact information isn't there, so I can't technically send anybody. Just good.
Have you connected Help Scout?
I tried. One thing I would say is their documentation, as I could understand fully, is like really lacking right now. So I didn't have quite enough information to. I tried to SimTheory look up itself, and it didn't also know how to help itself. So I tried, but I do think that'll be helpful. Some of the stuff you had showed me. Like, how did you do the three draft emails that you screenshotted to me? Or it was like, oh, I've queued up your three responses to your quotes.
So I think different, as I vaguely understand it, different models have different tool calling abilities. So I think Sonnet 4, for instance, can do parallel tool calling. Mm-hmm. So I said to it, hey, get my three most recent leads and draft emails saying that I'll get them a quote next week or something along those lines. So I didn't, not even that. I just said respond, draft responses to my first three most recent leads, which it did happily. And they weren't great. And I didn't send any of them because they had no greater context to them because I just said, given that generic sort of prompt. But yeah, I think different models have different abilities in that respect. Maybe. Yeah. Or haven't experimented, but yep.
Did they keep them in thread or do they try to make new threads?
I had to tell it to keep it in thread. So I made a new agent spin-off of my emailing agent, and I gave it explicit instructions that if you're drafting emails using the Gmail MCP, that you must keep it in thread. And then it did it.
Well, you know, I just think, thinking about this, I bet that you could probably on the MCP connection setup, there's like instructions for that connection. I bet you could do it there
too. You could do it there. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I set up all of this last weekend when I was like, I spent the whole weekend pretty much in bed, too sore to do anything else. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know, this is going to be so useful because I was in that sort of home context. I wasn't really working. I was just noodling around on my laptop.
Just playing, yeah.
Playing. And then during the week, I haven't used any of it at all. Like, I haven't actually need to.
A little too novel right now.
It's in that novel stage for sure.
What I think is really interesting is if I'm slowly grasping what it can do, and I do think it'll be interesting if I can tie things together.
Yes.
Tie multiple server things so it's like, not having to jump between things. Or, I mean, I've said this so many times, but I can absolutely see, and we're going to see this all over the place with Help Scouts AI, it's getting better and better. And the most common responses we need to have with customers, instead of me having to actually make, like a saved response, it's finding those contexts and creating better and better responses to customers before I even touch it. It's learning, which I was skeptical but hopeful that it would do that, and it's still got a lot to, I have a lot of desire, but they're adding little pieces to it every once in a while that's helpful.
That's great. Are you paying for Help Scout yet?
Yeah, it's $55 a month right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have using the top about plan. 50% capacity. The big deal was they basically got me with, I couldn't do private docs. That's what they call them, or articles. So all of our internal documents would have had to have been public if I didn't pay. But otherwise, I think we would have been pretty, if you don't do that, I think I could have stayed. Maybe, because I think I'm going over the contact quantity per month by a little bit right now. So I don't know. I'm pretty happy with that. Like, it's not based on how many users you have, which so many of them are. So
okay. If
you have 5 people, it's just 55. So the amount of help and time so far, I've liked it a lot. And I think it's hard to say how helpful it's been for our customers, but I get some minimal reports about like what people are trying to like search for and when they use AI. And I sent you this thing where I can help improve the AI responses by like replaying them and seeing where the AI responded and say like next time, it's like somebody asked about our like visiting here. And I said, make sure and mention like we're appointment only.
Yeah.
And give them a link to that so that they can actually like request that.
Yeah. Cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Yes. That Saturday, same day, I was mucking around with MCPs last week, and Laura very kindly offered to give me a sick day. So I spent most of the afternoon and evening in bed in a quiet house with no kiddos, which was very unusual.
Weird. Right, yeah.
It's weird. It was like the old times, and I just like sat on my laptop and worked and slept and worked and like noodled around, and then found myself for hours late Saturday night just trying to rewrite the Fusion post processor for ABB robots to optimize it for my generation of robot controller, which is like S4C+ or something. And comparing that to like the newer version of ABB controllers, and I ended up using Chatty's deep research function, which I haven't used that much up until the last week, only on a few occasions. And I was blown away by how deep and what all the documents that it pulled. I've done a couple of deep research topics this week. I was like, dang, there's some good stuff in here. I never found that PDF in my own searches and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I'd done deep research and comparing the two control generations, and then I was like, cool, right, we've got this Fusion Post processor that works, but I think it's generating code for the newer controllers. Let's try and just, like, rewrite it and work through that for hours. And I was like, this is awesome. This is going to – can't wait to get into the workshop next week and test this out. And Monday rolls around and it's like, meow, meow. It's just like immediately failed. Like, my test code was rubbish. That was anticlimactic, but I just haven't had a chance to kind of work through the error codes it's throwing up. It might be a few simple yep. fixes, but yeah, I do like that stuff. It was fun to sort of work through, and I learned a lot doing it because of that. Kind of learned like a lot of the codes that will work on my control generation that won't. That, yeah, I kind of sit in this hybrid middle ground. Like, my control version is between two versions, and so I've got some of the newer features that will work and others that won't. So,
right.
It's been a week of learning some nuance, I think. I've got a tame electrical engineer, my cousin, who visited during the week with his friend, who's also an electrical engineer. And they were just curious. They just wanted to come and see the robots, and they're curious. And they came and spent the afternoon and poked around and helped me troubleshoot some things with the backup batteries, some of which are flat in some of the robots.
We poked
around and tried to find the physical backup batteries, and it turns out there's three, and we couldn't find the third one anywhere.
I've been there.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, it was amazing to watch someone like look at, like, you would pulled out one of the main backup battery in the control has a PCB attached to it. And we couldn't work out what the function of that PCB was. And it was amazing to, like, look at these guys, look at a circuit board they've never seen before, and just, like, trace the copper and look at the components and go, oh, okay, yeah, it's probably doing this, and that's connected to that, and just, like, read a PCB from, like, from scratch. It was cool to see someone do that.
I bet based on its age, it's a lot easier than today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it would be, hey? Less in, well, just still an integrated
more
board, but,
more yeah. Yeah, more spread apart.
More space. Yeah. Yeah, and it's all that chunky industrial electronics too. Like, it's
like giant capacitors.
Big caps and big resistors, and it's all nicely spread apart and stuff. But then finally found the third battery. It was in the arm of the robot behind a, like, armor-plated cover.
Don't touch my battery. it's mine.
Mallet it out with, like, a crowbar to get the cover plate off and get in there, and just like, oh, there you are. A very flat little lithium pack that holds the servo positions.
Those supposed to be replaced every year then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 to 3 years, depending on usage, it says.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, at this point, you haven't, like, started a production thing, but it's good you found them now.
Yeah. Yeah, glad to have found them. And just it solves some of the mysteries of some of the issues I've been having with some of the bots. Of just, like, yeah, error codes that they keep throwing up. That's a lot of it will be to do with those flat bats. So, yeah.
Great.
Get those fixed up.
I don't have a ton. I've been so disconnected with stupid car purchasing and sales and stuff that luckily they're not amazing, but sales have been good enough, and Ricky's had stuff to do that I'm just like, okay. Got it? All right, I'm going to go do more stupid stuff with cars.
So intrigued. So intrigued.
It's not too interesting, other than the... I'm fully in, like, negotiation mode where, like, I walk into it starting where I'm like, I don't know how car buying goes for you guys, but everything is negotiable. It's like one of the few things in our culture where you can negotiate real hard, and there's seemingly like no ethics to it. Like, I just had a dealer tell me that their invoice price for a car was like certainly wrong and just lied to me. Like, the manager of the dealership just lied to my face, and I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's how that goes, I guess. So I'm just like fully in like a rapid texting back and forth with all these different dealers. Like, just get it done. My mind's consumed with that right now.
Wow.
Is that how it is for you? What's a car buying purchase for you?
I don't know. We've done it once in the last 10 years. And Laura, out of the two of us, Laura is the researcher. Yeah. I am the impulsive purchaser. I would buy with zero research and zero negotiation.
Oops.
And Laura is the one that will do the deep research. And I don't know that there's... I'm sure you can get into that zone here of, like, intense negotiation. But neither of us are negotiators per se. And so we would probably just take the list price and go, thanks, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just not something I've engaged with for a while, so I don't know. But I need to, because I need to get, as I said here recently, I need to get rid of my van and do something. So yeah, we've got this coming up in our not too distant future. We do need to do something with vehicles and rearranging things. Yeah, because the van is a ticking time bomb. That is, the longer I have it, the more money it's going to cost. And needs to be gone.
Well, can I interest you in a bot that helps you make deals for cars?
No, thank you.
Ah, damn.
Keep your enthusiastic bots.
One of 15 attempts where it only works because another bot is stupid enough to negotiate with it.
If you've got a bot that can hassle FedEx, I'll take that one, please.
Thank you. I bet we can.
Great, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Let's
tell you what, FedEx needs bots. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they've always been on my shit list.
Have they? Yeah, right.
Oh, we've had such a good
run. Heard it here first.
I like our current guy if he's listening, but it's never the in person's fault. It's always like in between.
Never the in person. No.
Yeah.
We've had a great run since we got a FedEx account 5 years ago. Generally speaking, it's been great for our business. And then last week, a couple of customers started messaging saying, hey, it's not letting me check out to my address. Oh, yeah. Can you help? I was like, okay, I'll check that out for you. Here's free shipping code. Just check out with that for now while I try and work out what's going on. And I was chasing API errors, and then I thought maybe it's our shipping plugin in Shopify that's out of whack. And then he came back, the tech guy for that came back saying, no, it's something at the FedEx end. Chased FedEx, managed to get through to their tech department, who are reasonably responsive, and they said, yeah, your account's on stop trade. Oh, okay. Email my sales rep, what's going on? He gets back to me, to like every email's at least 24 hours response. Yep. He got back to me, he's like, yeah, yes. He didn't know information, but like, yeah, you are on stop trade. I'll find out what's happening. Have you submitted an invoice thing, blah, blah, blah? I was like, no, that's why I'm emailing you. Anyway, it took over a week to get an email from accounts that said, please find a statement of account and invoice that's attached for these bills that are overdue. And so they haven't, at no point had they sent us a statement.
Mm.
And there was a bill that was overdue by over 6 months, and then out of the blue, they're like, with no warning, they kill our account. So I've missed a bill, like over 6 months ago, didn't forward it to zero for payment, missed it in the inbox, whatever, my bad. But then without warning, over 6 months later, they're like, no, we'll turn this account off.
Did it literally tick over into 6 months? Like they had like an if-then statement of like past due?
It was like 283 days.
Oh, that was 282 days you couldn't go past.
Yeah. but just... anyway, it's been a very frustrating week with no packages have left. We haven't been able to get... We had clear coat that was delayed. We couldn't get it shipped to us. No outgoing packages were being shipped to customers. And our website checkout was down. And their responses were just super slow. Anyway, blah, 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 complain.
Yeah.
Apparently, they unlocked our account last night, according to emails. I haven't checked yet, but yeah. And that was after me sort of overpaying bills in desperation of like, cool, we should be like $1,500 in credit now. Please unlock my account. No, I really need to ship stuff.
Is that your only solution?
To shipping.
For that? Yeah.
I could...
You have to like
go elsewhere.
Negotiate the rest.
Yeah, couldn't go off negotiating to other parties.
I mean, like, is that your normal? Like, you have to like freight ship stuff or like... I know we have very different systems, so...
Oh, in terms... Yeah, yes. It's pretty much couriers. Yeah.
Man, that sucks.
Yep.
Is it because of your location?
No, it's more to do with the scale of the goods.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we can't ship via Auspost because things are too big. And then Auspost do have their own, like, courier spin-off. But then it's just, it's another courier company, basically, which we could try and negotiate to get an account with. But, yeah, it was quite an effort just to get an account with FedEx. And we have had such a good run. Obviously, I want to stick with that. Fun. So, yeah, a lot of apologizing to customers this week of like, sorry, it's still not resolved. Your stuff is still sitting in our loading bay. Apologies.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. But hopefully it's working again today.
Those kind of things are... We technically have three ways we could ship stuff. Like, let's say platforms, and then they each give us... multiple shipping vendors... like couriers, so UPS, post USPS, and technically FedEx, but I literally refuse to use FedEx for anything.
Interesting. Well.
It's just, yeah, anyway, I won't get into that, but and then we ship most of our such stuff DHL. There's some insane situation with that VQO that's owned by Amazon that we use for shipping most of our stuff, where we get basically supposedly like Amazon rates. They're very good, and we can ship stuff internationally with DHL that's like sometimes like a third the price of UPS, which is just absolutely crazy. It's fast, like really fast. So I don't know. It's hard to have backups though in those kind of things.
It is.
Say you had an account you really relied on, which I go back and forth all the time because we have a UPS account, which is most of our shipping, and I only use it for like incoming orders, and I don't get a very good rate because we don't use it primarily.
Yeah.
And I'm always like your example is one thing where it's like, you know, the contrary to my argument in my head is like, we get Amazon rates, but we don't get the perks of our own account. But then if our own account gets jacked up, then I have no backup elsewhere, you know, like you have the one option or something like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we've just taken it into our own hands this week, and like Ben's doing an install in Melbourne this morning. So Edwin's going to go as well and drop Ben off and then spend the day delivering all the Melbourne stuff that's been held up.
Right.
that doesn't help us with the interstate things, but yeah. Interstate, we'll just have to wait. So yeah, I just had a look and our account has been unlocked, so that's a relief.
Right.
I will be more careful with bills in the inbox in future.
I wonder if it's the same. Can you turn on like a statement somehow? Like a
yeah, I'm gonna ask about that.
Maybe
try and
that's crazy.
Chase them about that. Yeah.
Standard business fare.
Aye.
Just your shipping.
All the little things.
Yeah.
All these little things that soak up your time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you resolve, speaking of soaking up time, did you resolve old mate, who I'm wary of even bringing the topic up? But
I don't know yet. I've
You don't know.
I've resolved it on my end.
Good. Good.
Made a resolution I thought was very fair. Gave him some refund. And kept it pretty straightforward, and they responded fairly unhappily and said they were going to file something. And I said, I don't know if I would, because I have a lot of evidence that you've done some gross stuff. And, you know, kept it professional and haven't heard back. So I don't know.
Okay.
I'm feeling more settled about it, but I also kind of like haven't heard anything from either their credit card or that they're, you know, I don't think he's ever going to say like, I didn't do it. You know, I didn't file a dispute. I think maybe just like the best case is it looked inward and went, yeah, I did some shady stuff there, didn't I? That's not going to happen.
Self-reflection.
Self-reflection. You think
that's going to happen? Dear Justin, I have been reflecting this morning and must apologize for my behavior.
That's happened like once to me before. So I told you about it, that one situation that was ridiculous, and they eventually apologized and retracted it. And I was like,
so good.
Oh, didn't know that was going to happen. Didn't expect that. Didn't expect it in the first place, but.
Yep.
I made a very good cappuccino. It's tasty.
Well, good for you.
At the podcast from home more often.
Yeah. Guess what I did this week?
From the list, I'm going to guess it's time blocking.
Oh, shut up.
I shouldn't have done that. There's been two things left on the list. I was like, you're either acting like a robot and...
I dredged up default diary from the forgotten past.
Impressive.
I know, right? I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Got frustrated. Said, I gotta bring back time blocking.
Right.
And I did. And it was successful.
Very cool.
It was very pleasing.
Just the novelty of it worked again, basically.
Yeah, it's, you know,
that's what would happen for
everything.
Me. Yeah. Right. Reference Mark, how do you change your ways?
Yes, nothing like novelty. I did morning R&D sessions, and then I did focused sales time and then focused drawing time, and it was interrupted by things, of course. But I think 3 or 4 days this week, I managed to maintain some sort of deep block, like work focus blocks, at least 2 to 3 a day. And right. It was very effective. And it just, yeah, just make feel nice. Like, so nice to do a block and be like, great, I made progress on the configurator this week. And that's now got a whole bunch of new features that I've been thinking about for ages. And then, great, I made progress on Abby, the sanding robot, this week. And that's now got the sander on it that's been sitting there waiting to go on. And just like...
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, my disclaimer to myself as I was doing those was like, cool, let's see how this goes. And the test is whether I get to the end of the week and I've actually quoted enough and sold enough. Because, like, it's all very well sinking time into R&D and configurator development, which is important big picture stuff. And that's what I'm trying to make more time for, is that bigger picture stuff. but do I meet target? And yeah, I don't know whether by fluke or just all worked out, but like leaving work last night, I was like, great, I met target. There's enough cash in the bank for where it should be by the end of the week. Feels good.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's nice been a win.
When like the gods just give you enough, you know, like I felt that this, you know, the last week and a half with the car silliness and like feeling like I'm not focused on work enough. And then I'm like, oh, another good sale. Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. I needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything different about it that other than like, as we both find the novelty of something different and new again?
Yeah, look, I think that's a big factor for me, as I know, with my list systems of like I need to shake it up every now and then to keep me on track.
Right.
It's similar to that of like, you know, the switch from paper diary to digital again, always, you know, that transition seems to help me. And it seems to be on a sort of 6-monthly frequency or thereabouts, 3 to 6 months. So I think, yeah, that novelty factor is definitely a part of it. But it's partly, you know, what I chatted about last week. I was beginning to get increasingly frustrated with me being the bottleneck, and I am still the bottleneck, but this, the drive to sink more time into like improving the configurator and getting the robots online is to try and unbottleneck myself and go to make time for the bigger picture stuff. Like, cool, how do I get to a point where there's enough web sales that I'm not just quoting all the time? Like, cool, well, to do that, I need to improve XYZ. It's like, cool, okay, I need to make time to actually be chipping away at that so that I'm digging myself out of this quoting hole. Otherwise, I'll just get stuck there.
For sure. Yeah, that's good.
Sure. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't have any. I'm always reminded when we come back to these things about this app I thought of 15 years ago now, probably 10 years ago at least, where I've tried a million different to-do apps and note-taking apps, and they all, it's the same story we tell all the time. They all work for a little bit, and then I'm like, too much going on here. It's too chaotic. My brain doesn't like it anymore. And what I want, or like, I'll find some reminder app that like helps me remember to do something at a certain time. And then eventually I just go, I don't care about you anymore. You can't tell me what to do. Mm. And it's like becomes rote. Like I don't think of it. And I want an app that like, it's, you know, we could absolutely do this with AI now, that like shocks me almost. Not physically, just like, we've brought this up before. It's, I want it to like insult me or like something where I'm like, oh, that's new. You haven't, you know, just said, oh, your thing is due in 5 minutes. Like it negs you or like, I don't even know what, like it's gotta be different. Like every other time.
Yeah. It needs novelty baked into it.
this is our joint software project.
Yeah, it needs a high
task
level
novelty,
erratic novelty built in, but in such a way that the novelty doesn't become rote or expected as well. Like high expectations of this application. I look forward to beta testing
it. Can't be. Just give it a, you know, for making like a little agent and just be like, you know, every time you respond, it's got to be a little bit off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
We're taking investors for erratic novelty task app now. Please call.
888. Call now. 961. Oh, my final bit
erotic. Erratic. To be clear. Although, that might
hold
fit.
Hold the phone.
That also might
That would
be,
fit. Yes.
Sometimes it's erotic, and you're like, wow.
Whoa.
I didn't expect that.
I wasn't ready for that.
It's like those when AI was first, like, not even first, but I think it was 3.0 when it came out, and that reporter found that they were having chats with it, and it was like strongly attracted to him.
I'm trying to get him to leave his wife.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. I guess
to have that happen.
I think that was Sydney when Bing, unhinged Bing.
Yeah, it was Sydney, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sydney 2, that's what we'll call it.
The ghost of Sydney.
My neck is real tight. I, like, tweaked it.
No good.
Well, maybe I need to. How's your body?
Super sore. Not much better.
Oh, man.
It was significantly worse on the weekend, and then the week's been kind of just same-samey. So. Not great. Yeah. I think the weekend was degraded by the fact that I moved a whole lot of hay bales, and I should not have.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Silly.
Sometimes that helps.
Kind of been, yeah. Can. Movement can.
Throwing a hay bale around?
Yeah, yeah. Good for the soul. But not much improvement yet. No blood tests back yet. So, but I have been good reassuring news. I have spoken to a few people now. They were like, oh, that thing, yeah, I had that, or I knew someone who had that, and it just went away after a while. So, fingers crossed, that's all that's going to happen. Just have to be patient and eat the right things. So, yeah, I'm just chasing that.
I did have an
amazing pathologist. Did I tell you about the pathologist who took my blood last week?
No.
He was awesome. He was like, he asked what was going on, just curious because I limped in there. I told him what I thought it probably was. And he was like, and you had gastro? Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then he just like, he obviously just has his head in medical books. He's not a doctor. But he just gave the most full, concise, generous description of like how joint membranes work and like how they're affected by like stomach bugs and like what happens when those membranes start to break down and what sorts of foods help build them up again. It's just like, damn.
Wow.
I want you as my doctor. You're great. Like, so much.
That's great.
So much. So forthcoming compared to my doctor who was just like, oh, yeah, go and get a blood test and we'll just see what happens. That was the extent of the conversation. Send you away. Yeah.
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 In some ways, it shocks me that just general doctors are a thing anymore. Like, it's like too generic. You know, like they're expected to, and I can relate. This is not saying I went to doctor school or equivalent, but you know, like going through 6 years of architecture school and then coming out being like, what did I really learn here? Like what, I, you know, there's too many fields to be good at any of them. And that's kind of always the joke about architecture is you're not a master of anything. You're like kind of know about plumbing and construction, you know, framing, and but then you learn all of it in the field, which is maybe like residency or something in doctor world. But it's like everything has gotten so specialized, and they do that where they're like, well, I don't know, go get a blood test, go to the specialist. It's like, is it just the, it's like the reception of the very educated reception of the medical field now?
What kind of is, right? I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions to
simplified,
that.
Simplified, like, for sure, right?
Some people have great relationships with their GPs, and I think they find those relationships very effective. But, yeah, you're right. I guess it is kind of the gateway to the specialists. That's kind of how it's set up.
I mean, we could spend the next 90 episodes on the inadequacies of healthcare, especially in America, but the... like, they're not incentivized at all to really solve your problem thoroughly in one session. It's like, how quickly can I see you and move on to the next person or schedule you again or all these other things. So anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're at episode 150. Congratulations on reaching 150. The next 50 episodes will be dedicated to the American healthcare system. I look forward to chatting next week.
It's no more about CNCs.
What's a CNC?
NC. How's it? Is there any NC. More NC news?
Jonathan got a quote from NC. I realized I use John's stage name a lot when I refer to him on this show, of Johnny, because that's his Instagram handle.
Now he's added.
And then sometimes I refer to him as John, and I just use Jonathan. But there is an email from the NC sales rep saying, "Hi, Jonathan. Thanks again for your interest in NC. Please find attached a quotation for the NC robot module." Are you ready? Go and guess how much?
I do. In Australian dollars, right?
Yeah.
Doll hairs, I want to say $12,700.
It's a perpetual license with the robot milling module, which you need to do what we want to do, plus a compulsory 12 months of software support, because they know you're going to annoy them for the first 12 months. $24,000 and some change.
So I was halfway there. bloody
hell. That is some premium software.
Keep paying your cursor license.
So, yeah, I don't think John's had much time the last week to play with NC. I've been back in grasshopper mode with my recent experiments. And now that I've mounted that cheapy AliExpress orbital sounder directly to the face of Abby... it's proving to be I'm getting much better joint positions, more natural poses, and so I'm just getting better results than I was out of Grasshopper, which is cool. And I've just found out yesterday there's a mode called soft servo or something. I need to dig deep into it. I haven't tried it. But apparently these robots have soft touch massage mode where...
I need that right now.
Me too. Massage program coming soon. But yeah, it's it converts the servo into a spring force instead of a precision force or precision motion. That. So you can have it act as a kind of a soft. So in theory, according to this little bit of research I've done, you choose which axes are having sort of the most effect on the downforce of the sander. So probably axis 2 and 3 for me. You turn on soft servo mode and it can act as a compliant spring. So that's cool. I wanna play with that.
No kidding.
Mm-mm-mm.
I only know of from watching other people and a little bit from that weird little UR class, but it was they'll use a certain amount of force to push against a part into a vise or, and if it's over or under, then you know it's wrong, right? I'm sure a lot of robots have that. It's just basically a force measurement and then an if-then statement to some degree. That's interesting. I don't know how we went through all of this and I didn't bring up your own soft servo, your garden hoses. How did we skip this?
Yeah, the garden hoses. They didn't last. They didn't last very long because I soon found some nice compliant foam upstairs from an old project, and replaced the garden hoses with some foam, and that was way more effective. And
I don't know if we explained what that was here, though.
No, I didn't.
Garden hoses has a soft, interface between your sander and the plate on the end of
the mounting robot. Flange. Yeah, it was the whole thing was a happy accident because I'd 3D printed a mounting flange before I'd pulled the old end effector off the robot, and then when I'd pulled this end effector off, I was like, oh, there's another adapter plate in the way that I hadn't spotted, which is a different mounting geometry. That's annoying. I can't be bothered taking that off as well. So, and I was just propping my printed part on there. I was like, oh, hang on, these bolts, these form a gap. And like, maybe I could put something squishy in that gap. And then that forms my, my compliant, like my spring that I didn't have in this setup. Right. So yeah, initially a 100-round found garden hose. I was like, oh, well, that'll do for now. And it was very unspringy because it was old, like perished, hardened hose. But it had a bit of compliance in it. And then, yeah, found some foam, and that's actually really nice. And I think it's going to be a good solution because, I mean, I've just jammed some blocks of foam in there for now and they'll probably fall out. But I could actually get a nice foam of the right squishiness and, like, cut a perfect mounting ring sort of gasket so it's got like a fully supported edge and actually make a specific part, and then it'd be like mint.
Right.
Perfect solution for this. So yeah.
I think your video prior to that, you were air cutting, air sanding, grinding. Sanding. Spider coming off my phone at the moment. That's crazy. It made me realize that what happens around corners is they slow down to match the like cutting tool speed almost, like, because it's so much faster inside or the outside corner edge or something, right, versus just a straight line, that it looks crazy when you see the robot do it. You're like, holy crap, that corner went fast
when it rips around the corner,
and it makes you think like, oh, that probably didn't sand as well there, but I have, you know, just a gut feeling.
Yeah, I haven't actually tested that. So our friend at Simple Wood Goods, who sent us that cool UR video ages ago, commented on that as well. And I was like, I think what's happening is it's just trying to maintain a feed rate around that corner. So it's the TCP, the tool center, is maintaining the same feed rate around that corner. It's just the joints of the robot have to move so quickly to like whoop, whip around, but the tool's actually staying at the same speed. So it just looks cool. But I think it's actually a consistent feed rate. But I haven't actually tested that feed rate with the sander running because I haven't bothered to actually align everything in physical space. So that's the next thing. I printed a probe last night. So I'll bolt on a probe, take the sander off, bolt on a probe, and then I've got to like do like physical space probing to actually align my fixture with the digital environment. So things are like, because I was getting to a point where I was just guessing too much and stuffing around and getting crappy results because I didn't actually, wasn't matching digital versus physical properly. So got to get my probing on, get that sorted, and then should be able to actually properly sand some parts. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Do you have a probe?
I printed one. As in, it's just a pointer. That's all I need.
Did you
just
say that? Did I space?
No, yeah.
I was imagining.
I don't have a probe. Sorry. Probe. All I need is a pointy thing attached to the wrist that I can drive around and go.
Right.
Yeah, this is this point in space is this coordinate.
How did that feel? Right. That's an interesting thought that you could use that sensing capability of the robot as a probe with just a rigid-ish thing rather than like paying for a runner-show with like nice touchy. It's probably not sensitive enough.
Yeah,
but.
No, I'm not using any sensingness. Like maybe you could do that and actually push against stuff, but no, this is more just like a dumb mechanical probe of like, I am here. What's the readout say in positional data when I'm at this point? Cool. Okay. That's the corner of my fixture. Great.
Yeah.
So, just not super precise.
An edge finder would probably work too, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yep, simple. Yep.
Totally would. The end.
And I can't wait to see you sanding, flip, pick.
I know.
Me too. I can't wait till you get to the... You're going to come on here and go, so now we have a problem. We need to sell more because the robot's too fast. sitting there angrily, not doing anything.
So old mate at random routing has done that cool, like, talk sensing stuff where he picks up his sheets of aluminium with the robot and to ensure the robot hasn't... Yeah, it's ABB. I don't know what generation, but to ensure it hasn't accidentally picked up two sheets of aluminium, he's got that cool talk sensing thing going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a chat to him, but I suspect it's a newer generation of robot, but I am not sure.
I don't really know how to search it, but do you think somebody has done some cool, like, open source projects that you could use for ABBs, like GitHub projects?
Maybe, probably, yeah.
Never thought about it. I don't really know how to find that stuff very well.
Me neither.
I've got car dealers hounding me, and we are out of stuff, so...
Buy a car.
I would like to harass them back.
Buy a car already.
I will. Fine. Bye.
Bye. Bing!